This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's cooling off a little bit.
Oh, finally.
It's not quite as hot as it was.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that this is going to go right on cool all the way to fall. What do you think?
Oh, well, I that would be nice because it almost feels like fall. I didn't really think that I would think that 90 or even in the 80s would be chilly, but here we are.
Here we are, and 90 seems nice.
Yes, it does.
After
nice.
You know, all these 104, you know, this week it was 104.
Really?
Yes, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I can't think I can stand between 100 and 104. It's just a little hot, folks.
Yeah, yeah. Once we start getting up in the triple digits, you can't really tell the difference between like 101 and 106, but it's just hot regardless.
It is, and now today is a nice day because it's Saturday, and we can get out and do a lot of things because the temperature's not real bad.
Yeah,
and that's just—I mean, that's wonderful.
It is nice. It's very nice, and we'll be dodging some showers throughout the weekend, so that'll be nice. We could use some rain as well, so it's really kind of one of those days to just kind of relax, be lazy, and take a nap.
Oh, I love it. Now you're talking my talk. Take a nap. Oh,
yeah.
I love a 10, 15-minute nap. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking like 10 or 15 hours, but minutes, that's okay.
I mean, I just like a power nap, just a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And then if it runs over, it's not a problem.
Yeah,
not a problem.
Yeah. And I love sleeping in the rain. There's something about just the sound and the air, the way the air feels. It just makes for some really good sleeping weather.
That's what everybody tells me,
man.
And I'm looking for that big rain that you're talking about. But,
man.
You know, I've had just little pitter-patters of it, but I am ready for the big rain.
Yeah, yeah, we need it.
What is the prediction for that?
I think it's pretty good.
All right, have they predicted how much?
No, I think, last week we had a little rain event, and I think in some places got up to about an inch. Not everybody did, but some places got up to an inch.
An inch is a good thing.
Yeah.
My goodness. I'd take an inch any day.
Yeah, really. Hopefully we'll get another inch or two this weekend.
All right. Well, let's give out the phone number just for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it. Let's do that.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is all
and
about.
And we're right on the front of Big Spring Street.
Oh, boy. there you go. So the plan is to start retiring. And I've seen some people that have talked about this past week. I was talking to a couple different people who have talked about taking their house that they're in now, selling it because the market is so good.
It is good.
Selling
hot.
And they're selling like crazy. And profit margins on selling a home right now appear to be through the roof.
They are, and they're getting 3 and 4 contracts on a house,
yes.
In case you want to know.
And quickly,
it's not like it was in 15 where they were begging people, please, please buy my house, and nobody wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
And now it's you can get as many offers as you want on a house.
Yeah.
And it is selling for a lot of money. And so go ahead and tell me what these people said.
Oh, they said they said, wow, this is going to be a fast process. You know, we're going to meet with this person, you know, at like 2 o'clock, this person at 4 o'clock. We're going to put the house on the market. We're going to sell it. And then they said, as soon as you list it, start packing because it's going to sell fast. Profit margins are going to be big. The problem is going to be finding another place to live. But people can sell their property and make a lot of money is where we're going. And so if people are looking for, that quick chunk of change, this might be one of the ways that they could come up with it. Take that money, do something wise with it, invest it in your retirement.
Well, now, a lot of people are doing this. They say, okay, I'm going to retire within a year. Well, then selling the house now, that's not a problem. They can go ahead and do that and move to the lake or move to the hill country or wherever. Because, as you know, I keep saying this, all of my people, when they retire, they're not necessarily staying in Midland, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are going far away, and they want to see a different scenery. They want to see trees. They want to see grass. You know, grass is a major thing. And they want water that they can drink. You know, just little things like that.
Just the simple things, turning on a faucet.
Simple things in life. So when they say, well, I might go ahead and sell my house early, it's because they can go ahead and move to the lake, or they can move to Granbury or Weatherford or the Hill Country, wherever. And some of them are even moving to East Texas, Palestine, Tyler, you know. So it depends how ready they are if they're going to sell the house. If you're 5 years away, you don't want to sell the house now. But if you're a year or 2 years away, you might want to do it. And just go ahead and get that move made.
And now the other thing is, though, that people need to keep in mind that if they do buy another house and they're getting close to retirement, you have to pay cash for it because you cannot be financing your home and retire at the same time.
No, you do not want to owe anything when you retire. When you retire, you want to be just footloose, fancy-free, no debt, and don't even want to think about it. Don't even want to know about debt.
Yeah.
And that's the way it ought to be. It should be a happy deal when you retire. You've got money in both pockets. You've got money with us. And you know, you're happy. Now, I'm against all those rent houses, and I shouldn't say that, but I used to own rent houses. I mean, you're responsible if they stub their toe. You know, they won't take care of it. Renters don't do anything. And you have to go over there day and night and take care of those houses. And if you're getting close to retirement, I would just sell those dadgum rent houses and get rid of them.
Yeah.
If you're 30 years old, keep the rent house. If you're 40, well, let me tell you something. Rent houses bring in money, but sometimes you don't really make that much because you're sweat labor. You have to do everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything but change the light bulbs. I mean, it's that bad.
Yeah, and especially if you have a house that's been around for a little while, and you know, the roofs, most roofs around 30 years, it may be almost time to replace a roof, which can be expensive. You have air units, yeah, you have appliances, you have all kinds of things that eventually start to break down, and those can take a lot of money real quick when those break and have to be replaced or repaired.
That's exactly right, and you're responsible. And I mean, if you've had a good run with them, and let's say you've got 7 or 8 rent houses, if you're going to retire in 2 years, now might be a good time. Since the market is so hot, sell those rent houses, get the cash, and let's invest it. Rather than just keep going like that. It is a terrible strain on your body and your senses having rent houses.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody I know will relate to that, I'm telling you.
And when you get a call at 3 in the morning that, something has sprung a leak, you know, you've got to go do something right then.
Yeah, it's your responsibility. And if they say the kitchen is flooding, we don't know where it's coming from, but we need you over here, well, you've got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't want to ever own another rent house.
Now, one of the couples I was talking about.
I want simplicity.
Oh, yeah. You kind of get rid of that headache and the anxiety.
That's right. And do something that's easy, like investing is easy. I'm against anything that, that eats, that has to be called. If you're being called, it's just not the right investment, in my opinion. It was all those years, but now that you're almost ready for retirement, shelve it, sell it, You know, get rid of it.
Now, the couple, or at least one of them that I was talking to this week about selling their house, they're right around 40-ish. And so is this a good time to go ahead and sell and then buy another one? Or are they kind of in some limbo position? Or?
Yeah, I would say they're in limbo. You're going to have a house. If you sell this one, the other house is probably going to cost even more. So if you're just 40 years old, stay in the house you're in. Just get it paid for.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think now would be a time to sell it unless you're going to retire right away or unless you're moving. If you're being transferred, yes, it's a good time. Get that thing sold before the transfer goes through. And but I would not sell it if I'm not fixing to retire.
So if the timing is right, this would be a good time. If it's not, I mean, and everybody's situation is a little bit different. So, you know, obviously, you know, think it through and adapt whatever is going on to your particular situation.
That's exactly right. And, you know, if I don't know what they have their retirement in, if it's something that is stressful, get it out. You don't want to be stressed in life, you know. You don't want to have to worry about your money. And that's why I like what we do. You know, there's not that much worry to it. Everything has risk. When you get up in the morning, you know, you may get your foot caught in a bedspread and break your leg. I mean, so I'm saying there's risk in everything we do, and we just have to live that way. So I would say if you've got real stressful investments, they're going up, down, sideways, get out of them. Life is too short to worry about your investments.
What about a family that has kids that may be about to finish high school, maybe go off to college? Would this be a good time to sell the house, downsize to maybe a less expensive home, and then take that profit margin and then start investing it? Is that a good situation?
Well, yes. If your children are going to college and you've got this 5,000 square foot house, you're not going to need it anymore. They're going to college, and from there, they'll go on to their lives, and they'll be getting married. They'll have their own children. So it depends, you know. I know a lot of people that do downsize. Then I know a lot of people that build a new home. I've got people that, when they retired, they said, we need a new house. Let's just build a new house. Instead of buying one, they built one, and, of course, that's 6 to 9 months of stress. A lot of stress. I've got people that remodeled houses down by Tyler Lake. And to me, that would have been pretty stressful. But what they did, they rented a house where they could watch the house that they're remodeling. And the wife went on early while he was waiting to retire. And so she was down there with the builder, stressed out all by herself.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so different things happen. And you just never know, you know, how it's going to work out. But most people, we are working not on their houses, on selling them, or anything like that. We're just working on their old 401Ks, their new 401K, you know, getting enough money set aside that we can start investing it and get them ready for retirement. Because a lot of our people are 5 years away, 4 years, and some of them, it's imminent. They're going to retire this year. Last year, we had several people retire. We have people this year that are going to retire. So, you know, as they get ready to retire, they need to have their money where they're not having to worry about it. And one thing about a life settlement, it can't go down. It's a life insurance policy. You know, it's different than other investments. If they have life insurance themselves, they understand how it pays off. You get a lump sum. And the people that are selling us their life insurance policies, we give them a lump sum. Then they can either start more cancer treatments, which a lot of them are doing, or they can settle with their family. And I have a lot of people that when they have cancer, they want to just go ahead, get settled with the family. They don't want any fighting after they're dead and gone.
Well, in stage four, people who have that diagnosis of stage four cancer, oftentimes, I mean, yes, there's treatment options that can help and prolong someone's life, which is ultimately what we hope for in the end. But in reality, it's a very dramatic diagnosis, and people know oftentimes the inevitable is right around the corner. So it may take 2 years, it may take three. in some cases, and then some may be a little bit more imminent. And so they want to go ahead and get these things settled because they kind of have that attitude of, though, well, there's not really a whole lot of point in fighting it. I've done everything I wanted to do. It's very expensive. It's not really going to prolong things very often. So they want to go ahead and get things, you know, settled and take care of to kind of keep harmony in the family.
Yes, and you know, I read a lot of LEs this week, a lot of life expectancies, and you know, a lot of them, it was that second coming back, and that's when it's really tough. When you know, 2 years or 4 years ago, you were diagnosed with like stage two, and you thought you had beat it. They did everything they could, and now it's back with a vengeance. And you know, you get tired. You fight it, and finally, it's not worth fighting. So they want to get their estate in order, and that's when they come to us, and they said, you know, what can we get for our life insurance policy? You know, let's see if I can't go ahead, pay my doctor bills off, my hospital bills, and settle with the family. And that's what they want to do.
And these have very serious cases of stage four cancer. So, I mean, you're looking for specific types. I know they're all stage four, but like brain cancer or, you know, what kinds of things are you specifically looking for?
Well, ovarian cancer, I mean, it is deadly. And, you know, we do a lot of those. The last one I did, the woman was 52 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, she has already passed away. And, you know, she didn't live that long, 7 months after we bought her policy. And then we've done a lot of kidney and renal cell. It was the lungs, the kidneys. We've done several esophagus. And, of course, the esophagus, it went to the lymph nodes, it went to the thyroid, pancreas, to the pancreas. And the guy was 68. He lived 15 months. So, and kidneys, that's another one. You know, the guy lived 10 months. It started in the kidneys, it went to the ribs. And this is what we talk about all the time, is, you know, the cancer is spreading. And when it spreads, we know they're not going to live very long. And breast cancer, as you know, the last one we did, and the lady has passed away already, she was 49. And it already went to the lymph nodes. It was in her lungs, her chest, her ribs. And there's no way you can survive it. You know, you can fight it and fight it, but you will not survive if it's already metastasized, you know, to that many places.
There's a lot of people who have been through this before that say almost the treatment is oftentimes worse than the actual diagnosis.
It can be. Sometimes the chemo are really serious. I mean, they will make you ill. Radiation, I don't think it's quite as hard on you, but the different kinds of chemo they've got now, they are, you know, trying it on people. They're experimenting to see if it works better than the old chemo. Because a lot of the old chemo, as you know, was, oh my gosh, your hair all falls out, everything happens. So what these our investors have made on these policies, you know, they've made 31% on some of them. They've made 24% this year. A lot of them have made 24 and 21. And as I said, I've had two policies that the people made 31%. Because, again, they were those 31% policies, you know. And we've done some 18 months, 15 months, I'm looking here, at what we paid out. We did some short-term ones that were 10 months. But, again, we did a 30, a 27, 22, and another 36-month. And that's what they made. So if you can make 24 or 18%, 36 or 30, that's not a bad deal. You know, and to know that's how much you're going to get because, you know, they're not going to ask you to discount. Whatever the face amount of that policy, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get the whole face amount of the policy. You and 10 other people or 5 people, depending how much you had invested. And, we just had one of those old policies come in that we've been waiting on, by the way.
Really?
Harmon. The name was Harmon, and we got notices. We go, Harmon has finally passed away.
So now how many of the elderly possible policies you have left? Are you down to 3?
I think we should be down to 3 now. And Harmon went 2.5 years over.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't anything we could do. I mean, we just had to sit here and grin and bear it. And we had 5 people, I think, in that thing. And they were paying huge premiums. And when I sent them a notice, they said, thank you, thank you.
And that kind of brings up a good point, because we talk about these policies, and there's a very big difference between an elderly person's policy who just wants to sell it so they can go buy a boat or go to Disney World or whatever, and somebody who is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Two totally different things. So when you're looking at these policies and deciding which ones to bid on, you're very selective.
Yes, I turned down 3 this week. They had the audacity to send me some that were 89. I go, you've got to be kidding. Don't send me anybody 80, much less 89 years old. You know, they can tell me they're sick. They can tell me they've got 12 months. I don't believe them. I just don't believe it. And I said, no, I'm not. I am not going to do it. I don't even want to hear about it.
And they're healthy. They're not diagnosed with anything. They're just healthy elderly people.
Well, they say they've got these things, but don't count on it.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Do not count on it. If they're elderly, do not buy their policies, because I'm telling you, you're going to get caught in the same deal we did. You know, we got caught with those policies. Someone convinced us that they were, oh my, they're sick, they're going to die. All of them but 3 now are still alive. But we've still got 3 that are very much alive. They're elderly. They're probably playing golf. That 84-year-old's probably at the golf course this morning.
Probably. So there's a difference between these types of policies, and that's what makes this such a brilliant type of investment, is how well-informed it is. It's not just, well, here's a random policy that showed up. No, you've gone through. You've looked at all the documentation. You have looked at every piece of information that is available. You know what the person has been diagnosed with. You have at least one, sometimes 2 different expert opinions. You're looking for different things inside these, like treatments that they've had, treatments they've not had. So what kinds of things make this such a well-informed type of investment?
Well, you know, we know everything about that person. We know what doctors they've been to, what hospitals. We know how many times they've been treated, what the different treatments are. And then we try to make, you know, an educated opinion as to how long they're going to live. And we're right, you know, a great deal of the time. We're wrong sometimes too, because we're taking doctors' opinions, and the doctor can be wrong, and we know that. But most of the time, we're close, very close. And as you know, this year we've had 10 policies that came in early. You know? 10 maturities that were early. Had 2 that went over. Stump went over, and Evans went over. Evans went over 2 months. No, it's backwards. Evans went over 10, Stump 2 months. But now that's what we've had come due. So we've been right almost, you know, 98% probably.
So percentages are in your favor.
Yeah, they are in our favor. And, you know, we try to be sure we've got a policy that will come in either early, on time, you know, every time. We're working toward that goal. And as I said, there's risk. It can go over. You could have to pay some money. And that's another thing. Premium notices are going out this week on the ones that have gone over. And I swear to you, I saw one. The premium was $97.
Really? That was it?
Yeah, and I saw several that were really small. There's only a few that had some that were over $1,000. But most of them were not even $1,000. Most of them were under $1,000, and a lot of them were under $400.
And so when we're talking about a profit of hypothetically, just random scenario here, of say a 24-month policy, $24,000 would be the profit margin. And so if you have to take out $97 out of $24,000, it's easy to do the math that says right here in black and white, yeah, this is a worthwhile investment. So even if it goes over and you have to pay those premiums, you're not losing your entire profit margin whatsoever.
No, and it's not going to hurt you at all. So we know that risk. We know, and we tell people that when they come to talk to us, we say there is some risk involved. We want you to know what it is, and we tell them, and then we tell them what the second risk is. If they really are short on money, which they shouldn't be if they've come to us, you cannot get money out of that policy until it matures. You can't take your profit out or your principal out early. You cannot do that. Because remember, we've already given them the money. We've already given the owner of that policy your money to buy the policy. So we always tell people, you have to have other money when you come to us. You have to have emergency money. If they don't have emergency money, we can't do business with them. If it's your last dime, don't come to us because we cannot do that. We want people that are accredited. You must be accredited. In order to be accredited, you've got to either make $200,000. There's probably not anybody in Midland, Texas right now that's not making $200,000. Do you think so?
Probably not.
I mean, most of them are making $300,000 and $400,000. Plus, they're getting bonuses that are really great right now. Most of the bonuses are $100,000 and above, as you probably know.
Yeah, one of the advantages of a booming economy.
That's right. So a booming economy is really going to help you. Now is the time to really bear down, put as much money as you can in your 401 with us or your IRA with us, whatever it is, and really get this retirement going strong. And if you're just procrastinating, quit procrastinating. It is not going to help you. You won't make a dime from procrastinating. I've never seen a procrastinator make any extra money by just sitting there and talking about it.
It's really about self-discipline. You know, I mean, sometimes a lot of people, when things turn around and all of a sudden there's this massive influx of extra income, whether it's through a regular paycheck or, like you say, a bonus, and it just comes all of a sudden out of nowhere. Boom, here's your bonus. Now you've got an extra $100,000 in your pocket. Oftentimes, the first thing people think is, "Oh my gosh, what can I do? I'm going to go buy a new truck, or I'm going to go buy." Somehow, that money ends up burning a hole in people's pocket. You have to be disciplined. Go ahead, be disciplined now, so that in retirement you're ready to go and you can blow it all then and have all the fun in the world.
That's exactly right. And people, this year we've had a lot of our regular customers come back and say, "I have some more money." And they've come two or three times this year putting extra money in their account to buy more policies because they know what they're making. They know they're making good money with us. So, you know, they want to get as much for retirement as they can. Because remember, once you retire, you know, you're not going to be making any more money. The office is not going to send you a check every week or every 2 weeks. So you have to do it now in advance where you can have all this interest income that you're going to need. And let me tell you something. I've never had anybody say, I don't even need this money. I've never had anybody say that. We all need as much as we can comfortably get.
No, sure.
Yeah. And the only way to do it is do it while you're young enough and healthy enough. Don't wait till your health is gone and then, you know, cry about it. We have to do it while we're young enough to make this kind of money, where in retirement we can kick back and do whatever we want.
Make hay while the sun's shining.
That's exactly right. Let's make hay while the sun shines.
So these people that came to you this past week, they had all this extra income that came in. Was it through like a paycheck or was it through a bonus? Did they sell something?
No, this was paychecks and also their other income. I have a lot of people that have like one or two ranches. They have, you know, cattle that they sell from time to time, and they just have a lot of different things going on. So they brought us money from other sources, as I said, and, you know, added to it. And they also had some old 401Ks. They had worked at some other companies. They just forgot about it. You know, I've had people 10 years ago, you know, do this. And now they suddenly remember, oh, yeah, I worked for Nabisco, you know, 10 years ago. Or FedEx. I've had people that used to work for FedEx. And they never had done anything with that 401K. They just left it there.
And that's just useless. It's not making anything at all.
It's useless. It's not going to help you at all. So we've taken that and moved it over. I've had people also that had old annuities. These were not fixed annuities. These were variable annuities, which means they're really mutual funds with a wrapper around them to call it an annuity. So those old annuities that we look back that had them, you know, 15 years, they haven't made that kind of money that they should have made. So we switched them out and put them in a life settlement.
So, you know, a couple of minutes ago, you were talking about, you know, all this money that it takes to invest and where it comes from, people's paychecks, things like that. So I know that, you know, because you touched on the risks as well. I know that investors have to have, you know, they have to be accredited. They have to have emergency money. They have to have a certain level of income and asset worth and all that. So what would be a like a profile of a typical investor who would be interested or qualified for something like this?
Well, they would come to us, and they'd have between $300,000 and $500,000, and so then they say, "Okay, how many policies can I buy?" So we're going to start out, and you know, buy as many as we can, where we can turn that money, you know, every 2 years, or some of it will be turned, you know, every 12 to 18 months, and the more we can turn it, the more they'll have when they get ready to retire, and their income that they're going to take can be quite substantial. And they may, you know, a lot of people say, "I don't need anything the first 3 years because, you know, I have other income." So we're going to take that income first and just keep investing this to get the interest higher. And then they may come to us and say, "Look, I'm retiring in January and I need $75,000 a year." So we're going to put at least 2 years in advance aside for them, where they'll always have plenty of money that they can draw on.
So there's 150 grand right there that they have access to at any time.
At any time. If they say, "I'm going to have to buy a pickup, this one won't go any farther," they can do it. Or they may say, "You know, we're going to go to Europe, we're going to stay a month." Well, you know, that's $10,000.
So then what? How does
just
the process work when somebody says, "Okay, I need to buy a new truck," and so they have 150 in that account, they buy a new truck for 80 grand, and so now what? You replace that somehow, right?
That's right. And so then when the next policies that come mature, we're going to take some money out of that and put back on what he's used. Now, to keep it up at all times, we've got one client that keeps $200,000 in their account for emergencies.
So this is really a process of, you know, we talk about planning all the time, but it's a process of planning this out so that no account in any, whether it's, you know, one that you're investing from or one that people have for emergencies or what they have set up for their day-to-day bills and expenses, none of these accounts are ever getting just drained. They're always, you know, you use it, replace it, use it and replacement. And that's the
exactly
whole concept.
Right. You've got to. And, yeah. And my thought is always keep 1 to 2 years in advance in their account. Now, some people say, "Faye, I don't need that." And if they say they don't, we'll just keep investing it till they call for it. Mm-hmm. But then we've got some people we know are going to have some money every year out of their account. And I've got people that didn't want to take it, like 30-something thousand. And their wife and I had to talk to them, have a little talk with them and say, "Look, you can take more than $37,000. And this particular guy, we've got him up to $67,000.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. So, but he didn't want to start with. He wanted to take $37,000. And his wife and I convinced him. He's got enough money with us, he can take any amount he wants, okay?
So
I mean, he does have a lot.
Is that typical behavior that people retire and they think, "Oh my gosh, let me be ultra conservative and hang on to as much as I can," and then they kind of start to loosen the reins a little bit as they realize that they have the freedom?
No. I have people that go out and think, "Oh my gosh, let's spend $90,000 this year." That first year is tough. They want to spend and spend that first year. And I'm saying, "Well, do you think we might cut back just a little bit?" You know?
So it's really the opposite. People get out and
they
go crazy.
Worried. They do go crazy. Look, they've worked all their life. They, you know, they had just the paycheck coming in, even though they had the money in the 401k. They weren't allowed to use any of it. So now that they've got money, they know we're holding it, they get carried away that first year and want to spend a bunch.
And then a little Faye Bagby behavior modification is in order.
That's right. Then I call them and say, can we talk? I think you're taking too much. Oh, my gosh. I want to be sure this lasts the 25 years that I've got it planned out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really the key. You had this all planned out for their entire retirement, and we're not only talking about, you know, traveling or buying a new truck or getting a boat or whatever the case may be, but you're talking about things that don't necessarily get planned for, like an emergency, a car accident, a health, some kind of a health scare, anything like that. That is also in the plan.
Yes, you know, we're anticipating a lot of things could happen to you as you get older, you know, as you're doing all these things. And I think about all that, and I try to plan for it with them. But it takes them a while to settle down. I mean, it doesn't just happen overnight, let me tell you. Okay?
It's like taming wild horses.
It is, because that first year or two, my gosh, they know they've got it in the bank. They know they've got it with me. And they're going, oh, gosh, I think we could just have a good time. And we'll take another trip and another trip. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's great. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, that's your office number. Nobody's working on Saturday, so don't call today. Write that number down, and then get ready to call on Monday to make an appointment to go see Faye. So every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring all kinds of neat, interesting things. You know, we talked earlier about places to go. There's things to do. There's things to see, whether it's Texas history. It's a wide variety of things we could talk about. So what's the topic today?
It's something near and dear to my heart. We're going to talk about watermelons in Texas.
Ooh.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I'll bet you didn't know this, that Texas is the third largest provider of watermelons in the United States.
You're right. I did not know that.
Okay. Did you know it is a $50 million a year?
$50
million? $1 million in Texas.
I had no idea.
Yeah, everybody just thinks we go down here to the little guy on the side of the road and we buy a watermelon, or we go to H-E-B, or we go somewhere else to buy it, and we don't realize how big an operation this is.
Wow, $50 million for watermelons.
$50
million. That's amazing.
Let me tell you how many acres Texas has planted. Mm-hmm. 42,000 acres.
Are you serious?
It's in 100 counties.
Wow.
100 counties are planting watermelon.
Holy smokes, that's massive.
It is massive. Now, watermelon in April, it starts in the lower Rio Grande Valley because you know how hot it is. Mm-hmm. Then you've got East Texas in June and July, and then it's progressing. In August, it's rolling plains, and late summer, it's like De Leon counties, the High Plains. And July and August is really ours out here.
Okay? So it's kind of like a rolling season, depending on the region and the part of the state.
That's exactly right. Now, then they plant from 2,000 to 3,000 plants per acre. Whew. I mean, it's a big deal.
Wow.
Now, let me tell you about this family. The Wiggins family produces 3 million watermelon a year.
3 million for one family?
One family. And they are down here at Snook, Texas. Now, a lot of people don't know where Snook, Texas is. And it's right out here by Fort Worth, Texas. Can you believe that?
Wow.
They only have 500 people that live in that little town. So that tells you how big the Wiggins family is out there in Snook, Texas. They have been there producing watermelon for 45 years.
They probably ought to rename the town Wiggins.
They should. And I have pictures of them gathering in their watermelons. And I was shocked at the way they're doing it. They have a big, long truck and this big, long trailer. And they throw it. They gather it. They pick up one. you know, get it off the vine, and they throw it up there to the wagons, and people are standing up there catching the watermelons.
Really? So it's kind of like a game.
Yes, and they said that at their farm, they work 18 hours a day to get these gathered in, because it's only a two-month season.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. Also, how many people know that you can make watermelon sherbet? Can you imagine sherbet made out of watermelon?
Delicious.
Yes, and then there's popsicles. You can make watermelon popsicles. And then you could also make pickles. Watermelon rind pickles.
Are you serious? I never even heard of that before.
Yes, and the Wiggins family even produces the recipe online for watermelon sherbet.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is a big deal in Texas. And I just can't believe that we have 42,000 acres planted and that the crop is a $50 million vegetable to the state of Texas.
That's insane. And then I think about watermelon sherbet, and that's got to be about the most refreshing thing on a nice hot summer day that I can think of.
It is, and it's easy to make. It's simple. It's not hard, you know, and it's just an amazing thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and it just takes you puree your watermelon. You use unflavored gelatin, a little sugar, some nutmeg, some milk, and fresh lime juice. It's done. That's it.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yes, it does.
And, I love watermelon. I don't know anybody in the whole wide world who doesn't love watermelon. And the Wiggins family said if it doesn't have their name on it, it means that we have run short on watermelon in Texas and had to import it.
Believe that. You don't want to import it. No.
No, never. And, I just can't believe it. And right down here in Snook, Texas, which is very, very small, and they said we have not changed it in all these years is probably why we're so successful selling over 3 million watermelons every season.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, you don't do it for, 45 years without doing something right?
Yeah, I mean, 45 years. I can't comprehend it. And then the Wiggins family said, we do not do it like most people. We do not go out there and plant the seeds. It would take too long. So what they do, they have greenhouses, and they get the plants up and going, and then they plant all of the little plants in order to do this within 60 days.
So they give it a little bit of a jump start in the greenhouse and then take it outside to Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's what they do. And that's why they're able to grow 3 million watermelons every season.
Wow.
See, I can't comprehend that, that you could do it. I mean, I just don't know how. Because, that's a lot of watermelon.
Wow.
And they sell all theirs to, Walmart and big stores because it's so much.
Wow.
They don't go out here and sell theirs beside the road like the little small farmers do.
So then, outside of the very short season, are they kicking back, just, chilling out or doing something to prepare?
Getting ready for the next year, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they... And A&M says there's every kind of bug in the world that's after your watermelon plants. So, everybody has to keep all those little aphids off the watermelon plants where it will spread and grow and where they can harvest it.
And they keep all that under control.
They keep all of this under control. I'm going to have to go over here to Snook and take pictures of this.
Yeah, I feel a road trip coming on.
Yeah, I mean, and visit these nice people and just figure this out, how this works. I want to watch them, gathering it and putting it on that trailer and throwing it up there.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to see them throwing around some watermelons.
Yeah, can you imagine?
I wonder how many they miss and break on an accident.
I thought about that. I thought about that. I mean, how do you think that works?
Wow.
But I would think you better have a real good throwing hand.
Where is this at, Snook?
Snook. It's right over here by Burleson in Fort Worth. It's right around the corner from us.
All right. Yeah, that's definitely going to have to be a road trip.
Yes, I think definitely a road trip. Everybody should go over to Snook and see how this works. And I'm looking at pictures of their watermelon, and they do look good.
I bet they're nice and juicy and everything.
Yeah, and they look pretty big. Like, they weigh quite a bit. And then another thing. And the 1st of August, the Farmers Market in Dallas has all these watermelon. They said from Midland, everywhere out in West Texas, they bring it into Dallas, and some of these watermelon weigh 45 pounds.
Wow, that's as much as a small person.
It is as much as a small person. So, now, doesn't that make you just hanker for some watermelon?
Yeah, it does. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, some of the red watermelon, that's my favorite.
I wonder if they all have, like, a different amount of sweetness or different, you know, slightly different flavor for each region.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does, because the climate's different, the dirt is different. You know, it's a whole different thing.
I'll never go to the store and look at watermelon the same again now.
No, you won't. You'll go and you'll say, let me study this situation here. make sure it's a Wiggins watermelon.
Yeah.
You know? Because they are big.
Wow. Oh, cool. Of course. They're from Texas. Of course they're big. They're huge.
That's exactly right. Everything is bigger in Texas.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine that we are number 3 in the United States for growing watermelon. I just had no idea.
Well, we're going to have to see what we can do about getting up to number 1.
That's exactly right. And even Texas Monthly this month was talking about the watermelon at Farmers Market in Dallas.
Cool.
Now that is a big deal.
That is a really big deal.
It is. Watermelon is a big deal in Texas.
Well, now I'm in the mood for watermelon.
Yeah, I mean, first we were going to have ice cream. Now we've moved to watermelon.
And wine was in there someplace. I know you talked about Texas wine and grapes.
That's it. We talked about all the wine orchards and, you know, the grape orchards and drunkenness, and now we've got 3 things at least to go visit.
Boy, another couple of weeks, you'll have laid out us an entire Texas-based picnic.
That's exactly right. And, you know, Texas picnics are different than other picnics.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
You need 4 or 5 people to carry the picnic basket.
That's right. I mean, because it's going to be heavy, let me tell you.
Oh, that's brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, next to Ivy Cottage, and across the way from both of those drug stores at Wadley. So...
Brilliant. So we're talking about profit margins with these investments, and we're talking about how, you know, the life settlement has, the life expectancy is this much, the profit margin is this much, it's this many months, and so how tell just a little bit, because I know people are wondering, how do you determine what the profit margin is for each policy, because they're all different.
Well, we try to make 1% a month on every investment for all of our clients. We try to make sure they're going to get 1%. Now, I know there's other companies that they only make 8%. Your mutual companies, your mutual fund companies, they'll guarantee them 8%. Well, we say, since it's your money, we're going to try to make you 1% for every month that you have that policy. We've always kind of done that. So that's how we determine it. So if it's a 36-month policy, you're going to get 36%. If it's a 24-month policy, you're going to get 24%. Now, the only ones that are smaller is when they bring us a policy that's only 10 months or 12 months. You know, you're probably going to get 10 or 12%. But most of them, they're making such good money. You know, they're getting, as I said, when you can get 24% on investment or 28% or even 30%, it's a good day. So our people, we turn that money as quick as we can. Sometimes it takes longer than we think, but you're still going to get that profit. They're never going to ask you to take less than the face amount of that policy. That's what I like about a life settlement. is you're going to get the face amount no matter what happens.
So even if it comes in early, if it comes in, say you have a 24-month policy, it comes in 12, you're still going to get that 24%.
That's exactly right. You're not going to take less just because it came in early. That would never do.
So what's the landscape look like now? Because I know that there have been some record number of policies that have come in early, which means that people take that profit and they roll it over into a new investment, which means that they're upping their percentages of making more money faster.
That's exactly right. And if you can turn it just a few months faster than what you anticipated, it'll get you a little more interest just a little bit quicker, and that helps if you get a little more money quicker all the time.
So what's the landscape look like now? As you look ahead over the next several months, I know it's probably a little bit too early to look to the end of the year because we're only in August. But
yes, it's way too early for that. I cannot predict anything because we don't know how many policies we'll get in, or how many of the policies we've already got that will, go ahead and mature, because we've had a lot of maturities this year. We had 10 last time I checked, but we've had a lot more in since then.
2017 was a big year for policies coming in early.
It was.
How has 2018 been shaping up? Is it the same, more, less?
I would say it's about the same as far as early. We've had several that were late that matured. And as I said, we just had that Harbin policy. There's 5 people in that thing. And, most of them have come in early. We had 2 here that matured. They were late. And, but we had more that were early than we did late.
And that's a good thing. I mean, it's all a matter of percentages. Because this is not a one-time investment. You're in and you're out, and that's what you have for retirement. This is part of, we talk about planning all the time, but it is part of a plan. It's part of a long-term, strategy to get set up for retirement. So this is going to go on for a number of years. And so if one comes in late and you have 5 that come in early, those are pretty good odds. That's great percentages.
That's right. And if a person wants to get started now, the best way to do that is call, make an appointment. I will be in on Tuesday, starting Tuesday this week. So, they can make an appointment for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, and I will see them. And if they want to make a change, I'm there to help them. If they say, look, we don't know if we want to do this with you or not, but we've been procrastinating for a long time. We want to come in and talk to you about it, maybe move some money over there and try it, see if we like it. And, of course, everybody does once they're in, and then they put more money with us. So that's just kind of how it works.
So somebody who's used to other types of traditional types of investments, like Wall Street, stock market, things like that, when they come over, they're probably expecting massive amounts of fees.
Well, they may, but, there is none other than what the bank charges.
Which is?
The bank charges $250 to set up their account. So if they've got 2 or 3 accounts, yes, it'll be a little bit more. But if they've just got an IRA, it's $250. So that's not very much of a fee.
Well, I would say that's
everybody
more than
else's
reasonable.
Fees are a lot more than that.
Yeah, really. I was going to say, my goodness, it seems like a drastic discount compared to other fees and other types of investments.
Yeah, it's not hardly anything. So when they say, what is your monthly fee? Or, Faye, what is your fee? We're not charging an extra fee, because I always tell everybody, we make enough money the way it is. We don't have to charge a bunch of fees.
Okay. So when somebody comes and sees you for the first time, and I know you've got some regular clients and some regular investors, when somebody comes to see you for the first time, say they come see you on Tuesday, when might somebody typically expect to be in their first policy?
Well, if they go ahead and have us do something right then and they open some accounts, it's going to be 3 or 4 weeks because they have to wait their turn. But now if they come and talk to us and don't do anything right then it's going to be farther down the road. They're going to be behind everybody else, and everybody else is going to come first, on these new policies we're getting in. And I'm hoping to get them closed. Lately, every time I say I'm going to close on a policy, We get some closed, like that $1.7 million the other day, but we've got a lot more that we need to get closed, and we're going to try to get those closed as soon as possible.
So it really just takes a couple weeks to get things set up, no big deal, and obviously it depends on if somebody's ready to go and depends on availability.
Availability right now. So you have to wait your turn, and it might take another 3 weeks or 2 weeks, you know, before you get anything right now.
Wow. Still not bad. You're not waiting
not
6 months
bad.
Or a year.
Oh, no, no, no. We'd be out of the mood if it was a year.
Faye moves fast. We're not moving to the pace of a snail here. This is moving.
That's right. We got to get it together.
All right. So for someone who wants to come talk to you next week, what should they do today to get ready to you know, come in and
bring
see
me
you?
Everything they want me to look at.
All right.
What they're worth, what their income is, what the assets are in, what the investments are in. Bring me everything what you want me to look at. Let's look at it. Let's go over it. And we'll make a decision together.
Good deal. And Faye, one last time, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. If you're having a little trouble finding it, look for us and Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.